Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and it's going to be 75 degrees here in Trevo's, Pennsylvania today.
Yay.
How about that? Tim Andrews is here wearing shorts. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, we're happy to be joined by Tim, who is lamenting the sports weekend for Philadelphia.
It's not a good weekend if you're in Philadelphia.
It was not.
Yes. Eagles, Phillies.
All bad. Kathy Houston, you're lamenting as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You don't
sad
have
times.
The usual smile on your
no,
face.
No, sad times.
What are you more sad about, the Phillies or the Eagles?
The Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle Bell, editor of Supply Global Resources here, and she's as happy as pie.
Yes, I don't care about sports, so I'm fine with everything.
She said, Phillies, Eagles, who are they?
Who? What now?
Andy Cohn's here from Tuckahoe, New York, so obviously your team, Tuckahoe. Obviously,
Tuckahoe?
Your teams weren't
hometown
even involved
of Tuckahoe,
in
New York.
Any of these things.
No, as far as I'm concerned, my teams weren't even playing this weekend. Thank you.
So, Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is here. What's up, Joe?
Nothing. I just got over the weekend, and you brought it back up.
Everybody's
again.
Depressed.
I know.
I'm sorry. We'll try
I'm pretty
to pep
happy,
everyone
actually.
Up this morning.
All right.
Yes, Captain Killjoy is going to bring us up. Craig Veltri is here making our sound effects this morning, and Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your phone calls. Call us at 215-953-4979, and tell us, today we're going to be talking about budget planning, what you should be investing in 2011. So call us with any questions you have on that at 215-953-4979. And Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, Melinda, we have some calls into the, let's see if I can say it right this week, the Holla Back line.
It's a little bit of a struggle, but
well,
you'll
thanks.
Get there.
Small business owners are more optimistic. Kathy has a report there. What do you do when you lose a customer, Andy? Well, wait a few minutes and let us know. Michelle is going to look at some PR buzzwords you need to remove from your lexicon immediately.
State of the art, please.
Pluses and deltas.
We also have a preview.
Wow, we
of
had a boo 1 minute into the show.
Yeah,
we have a preview of a Supplier Global Resource Sales Forecasting Survey. Michelle's going to bring us that, but we're going to start the whole shebang off with the industry news in 60 seconds with Andy Cohn.
All right, thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with financial news for one top 40 supplier, BIC APP, parent company of BIC Graphic and Norwood, said last week that its third quarter revenues declined by 0.4%. Also, its revenues in the first 9 months of 2010 dropped by 2.1%. The company's financial filing said, quote, "We do not expect sales to recover before the end of 2010. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission surprised safety advocates last week when it declined to impose mandatory limits on the amount of cadmium allowed in children's products. The ingredient does have legal limits, however, as four states this year have passed strict requirements. Check out Promogram today for more details. Supplier firm In Your Face Apparel has acquired Dallas-based College Town Screen Printing. As part of the deal, the College Town brand name has been eliminated, and the company's equipment and staff have been folded into In Your Face Apparel. In Your Face has also moved into a larger Dallas facility. And finally, U.S. Senator Olympia Snowe paid a visit to top 40 distributor firm Geiger last week. The senator toured the company's Lewiston, Maine offices and met Geiger's more than 500 headquarters employees. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's hot today?
I bark.
You bark?
I bark.
Can you bark for us right
no,
now?
No, you were there, though. You said the bark. Yeah, there we go. We have some pet products.
Who let the dogs out?
Down, boy.
I think Philadelphia, you should be careful. We got Vic over here, you know, at the Eagles. You don't want to be too close to the dogs.
Hide okay. Your beagle. Vic's an eagle.
All right. Thank you very much, Andy Cohn. All right. As everyone knows now, we have our new Holla Back line. People can call in 24/7 and tell us what's on their mind. Michelle, what's the number of people call?
215-953-4977. They can call us 24/7.
All right. I think we have a call to play today.
Oh, there it is.
Except Joe.
Hi, my name is Wallace. I'm a distributor from Baltimore, Maryland, and I'm just calling to say that I really enjoy the show, and I really enjoyed listening to Michael J. Fox on the radio show. I think he's a really inspirational figure, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him down in Orlando. Keep the celebrities coming, and keep up the good work.
All right, we're getting a lot of good feedback from Michael J. Fox. Thanks to Wallace for calling in, and again, call us anytime 24/7, and maybe we will put you on the air. All right, today's topic for call-ins is where should I allocate resources in 2011? If you have any questions on where you should put your money. Call us now at 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, Joe, what will we give you?
$25 Visa gift card.
All right. First of all, we have a question coming on our Facebook fan page from Amanda Sellers Jensen. And her question is, we are selling promo products, but what percentage of our marketing budget should we allocate to our own self-promos? I know we're big proponents of the self-promotion. We've written a lot about it in our magazines. Michelle, Tim, any thoughts on that?
What do you think? I always go high because I love self-promotion and I think it's invaluable. So I would say like 20%, but that's probably way higher than
And I would really say all your marketing should be self-promotion. So I think part
right,
of it is how do you define it?
Have a self-promotional component.
Right. And I mean, if you're really talking about, you know, how much should you spend on product, I mean, first of all, you can get a lot of product from suppliers free or at a very low cost because they really let you do self-promos at a great price. You know, I think 5 or 10%, but I think everything should be promotional.
Yeah, I think if we were, if I could ask that person a follow-up question, it would be how big is the budget to begin with?
Right.
If it's actually, if it's a small budget, then I would agree with Tim and say you want 100% to really go to self-promos because
right.
it's the most effective, you know, cost-effective medium, essentially. And so you could get a bigger bang for your buck. If you have a huge marketing budget, then, yeah, incorporate, you know, many other things into that.
But anytime you're
the
doing
smaller
a direct
it
mail
is,
push, for example, you should always include some kind of self You know,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Product.
Absolutely.
And
there's lots of things that are really cheap and easy to mail as well. All right. Well, thank you, Amanda, for sending in your Facebook question. On line two, we have Lynn. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I'm a distributor sales rep, and I'm looking to spend some money in the beginning of next year, hopefully with the goal of generating sales for the rest of the year. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions on how to do that.
Everyone's looking at Andy. He's
crickets.
Water.
What I would say is self-promotion, actually. That would have been my suggestion because that is a quick and easy way to do it. Work with your suppliers. They're all willing to give deep, deep discounts. And also they have really good case histories of self-promotions that have worked for other people that they've worked with.
Here's a really important part of this, I think, which is that you should really make sure you follow up. So, you know, there's nothing worse than getting something, you know, in the mail, you know, a self-promotion from someone or some other kind of promotional activity and you don't get a follow-up call or an email or something. So, you know, whatever you think about doing and how many people you're going to try to reach out to as prospects or renewing relationships or whatever it is, think about how do you stage that over the first few months so you don't have to spend it all at once. You know, what can you do to spend that money and to send out those gifts or those items or whatever they might be and then allow yourself enough time, you know, that you can call and follow up. So don't send out 100 of something if you can't make all the phone calls within just a little while of them arriving at the prospect's, you know, desk.
The other important point is self-promotions are not a one-shot deal. I mean, you may do an initial mailing or something like that, but then you're going to have to follow up, and it doesn't have to be expensive, but you may send then a postcard. You know, you've got to have 3 or 4 touches in there to make it effective.
I would also say when you're determining how to allocate resources, especially in this way for a salesperson that's trying to, you know, market their business, take the time right now to segment your customers a little bit so that you know who you're going to target in the coming year. So when you look at 2011, say that you're going to try to win back customers that maybe haven't bought for you in the last 12 months. You know, so you have a certain amount of your budget that's going to go to that effort, and then, you know, you have a certain amount of your budget that's going to go to the effort of trying to win more business from current clients. You know, segment your list and determine, you know, who you want to go after first, and that might help you determine where the money's going to go.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about resources, we have to remember time is a resource as well, and you might want to start thinking about getting on board with social media, whether it's tweeting to your clients or having a fan page on Facebook so you have the new touch points. More companies are doing it, and if you're not doing it now, you want to put some time aside next year to start to get onto that. So also look at some of the other media that we're using here, like video. It might be time to allocate some resources to a flip camera and start sending videos to your clients on a weekly or monthly basis.
Especially with the shows coming up, you know, in the first quarter, there's so many shows. You know, you can visit our Orlando show, take some video of some key new products that you see at the show, go into the booth, talk to the supplier, send it right off immediately to
we're
a client
more
or prospect.
And more. Yeah, that's great. That. And they're not using expensive equipment. They're using flip videos,
right,
which have fine quality for that type
perfectly
of thing.
Perfectly fine.
And Joe Haley, you're going to be teaching your video class again this year at the shows? In Dallas, you are.
Oh, I am. Okay, yes. In Dallas. Come see me in Dallas. I'm teaching
you
how to put together an effective product video.
What? Yeah, in an hour or so, Joe will teach you how to do it. It'll be cheap and easy.
Cheap and easy, and the thing is just do it.
Appropriately so. Appropriately so. Is that available on a webinar online now, or are we going to record that before – before Dallas?
Joe did a webinar on
that. I believe there's a webinar up
there.
I did one on our ASI online learning center right now.
Yes.
All right, well, thanks for calling in. Lynn, stay on the phone for your Visa gift card. And we're going to go to line one and talk to Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question?
I own a small two-person home-based distributor company, and I was wondering, what do you think is the most important thing I should invest in next year to get more business?
Ideas? I would say, I don't know if you're considering this, but don't invest in office space at this point. A lot of home-based businesses are eager to get an office, but sometimes, you know, they jump the gun. That's not the right decision.
You said two people, so it's yourself and one other person. Are they in sales, or what role do they have?
Various.
Yeah. I mean, I think one way you could really, you know, help your business is think about locating someone who, you know, has some sales experience in our industry and in some other industry and bring them in as an employee, or, you know, more likely someone that you're paying on a commission basis. Because one of the best ways to grow your business is to have more people out there talking about your business to potential prospects. Because, you know, I don't know where you live, but if there's got to be hundreds of businesses that have not been called on by you or probably by another distributor in the last 12 months. And so if you can bring somebody else in to make some of those calls, both, you know, in person on the telephone, that is a great way to jumpstart something.
And it's low cost because, you know, like a lot of people work on 100% commission.
And also, I would think of hiring somebody part-time to do the administrative duties so that the two people that are working there can go out and sell, like Tim said.
Yeah, to free up your selling time.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would just add that you basically would want to spend whatever budget you have on revenue generating activities, you know, just like we're talking about here, either freeing up your time so you can sell more or hiring somebody else that's going to sell for you. But, you know, when you're a small operation, you want to focus on building growth.
And also, of course, I know we're talking about 2011. But I would try to do some of these things in 2010 in December if you have time, because you know, it's a little quieter. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to get an interview with somebody, you know, or an appointment with someone. So, you know, maybe they have a little downtime in their business, and, you know, perhaps, you know, calling a few days before one of the holidays is a good time to really get in, get them on the phone, because more people have a little bit of time that they can spend with you.
That week between Christmas and New Year's, you know, a lot of people take off, but the people who are in the office are
often free. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
It's the best.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck, Angela. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card, and thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
It's not too late to call us today at 215-953-4979 and tell us what's on your mind. We're going to pause now for a message from today's show sponsor, and when we return, Kathy's going to give us some good news.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteU.com.
We are back with ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, and Kathy.
Yes.
Small business owners are optimistic. We like to hear that. Why is that?
They are. Well, this is according to a survey by ADP, which is a leading provider of HR, payroll, and all those kind of administration services. The findings report that despite concern about ongoing economic challenges, 52% of small businesses nationally expect to grow over the coming 12 months. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Another 35% of the small businesses anticipate their business volumes will remain the same. So that's a shift in the level of optimism, given that 80% of those surveyed said their businesses have been negatively impacted by economic conditions over the past 2 years. But things that they're doing a little bit differently, they say their operational efficiency has gotten better. So that's the main driver of the optimism. For example, they reported embracing technology as a means of reducing administrative burdens. And 6 out of 10 executives surveyed said they own a smartphone, and 80% of smartphone users use them for business. So they're trying to do things a little more efficiently and streamlined. So that's a reason why they're so positive.
That's great. Tim, does this mirror what you're hearing in the industry?
Yeah, we're hearing a lot of really good, you know, feedback in terms of what people are seeing in the fourth quarter for sales. You know, the outlook is pretty good. Suppliers, you know, are, I would say, a little more spotty. Depends on what the supplier's products are and what their lineup is. One of the biggest issues, of course, we've been talking about is inventory levels. So that's really an important issue. A lot of suppliers don't have sufficient inventory for the distributors. But hearing a lot of good things, and because people have taken a lot of costs out, both on the supplier and on the distributor side, as revenue starts to come back and sales starts to come back, people can be, you know, more profitable than ever before and a little bit lower sales because they've taken those costs out. So, you know, I think 2011 is going to be the year where we try to keep our costs down and controlled and try to bring revenue back and then get profitability back.
You know, it's...
Oh, sorry, Michelle. I know that Supplier Global Resources just about just conducted its own survey.
Yes.
Sales forecasting, and I know there's some good news in there as well.
There is. 65% of the salespeople supplier people who responded said that their sales are going to end higher for 2010 than they were in 2009.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's great, and they're also up from third quarter now from last year.
I know you have some other questions in the survey. Are there any surprises in there?
There are some surprises. One was a little disheartening. If I were to ask you guys, how many suppliers do not have formal testing and inspection procedures in place, what percentage would you say of those who responded?
60%.
Are there facility or are there employees, or what are you talking about?
Product testing
and product safety.
God forbid.
31% do not have any testing or...
So almost
inspection.
A third of industry suppliers.
Yes, of those who responded.
Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that are actually admitting that.
Yes.
Like when you're asked a question on the survey like that, you're going to have some that probably can't admit that.
That was the most disheartening, I thought. Another interesting one was because of all the issues in China right now with production and inventory and pricing, if they were looking to other areas to start sourcing. And 38% of responding suppliers said that they were. And the places they're looking are India, Vietnam, Mexico, parts of Europe, and the U.S., so a lot of them are starting to look inward and, you know, to look to manufacture domestically.
Yeah, we got a great story coming out in Wearables Magazine actually next week talking about apparel manufacturers that, are producing in the USA and how they're seeing a little bit of a resurgence. So that's kind of interesting for...
You know, we keep seeing in studies that now, especially, people are willing to pay more for products made in the U.S. They feel more comfortable with it. They feel that there's more safety in regard to the product and the testing.
Well, now the inventory, if that's an issue, that's better as well.
That safety data is concerning, I
Unnerving.
Would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the recalls are happening, you know, practically weekly. You could almost hear about a product recall, so... Anything, that's something to watch out for.
Anything in the survey results about price increases and what people are saying? You know, what are suppliers saying for next year in terms of their pricing? Because catalogs are getting produced right now. What's the trend look like for 2011 in terms of price, Michelle? Do you know?
I do know that. Just give me a minute to find it.
She's flipping through.
She's flipping through that.
A lot of commodity prices are up. So I think a lot of suppliers are looking for the first time in probably a couple of years at some price increases because, you know, cotton is at an all-time record.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lots of inputs into plastic and other kinds of products are, you know, up. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting...
The currency in China.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In terms of all these issues we're talking about, we're going to talk about in depth at our Power Summit that starts November 7th down in Florida. We're going to have... an executive from the toy industry there to talk about safety. And we've got an economist that I know that, Tim, you're going to be interviewing.
Right, I'm interviewing both those gentlemen, actually, and it's going to be really exciting because the toy industry individual has been an attorney in the Toy Industry Association for a couple of decades, I think.
Yeah, and Frederick Loker.
Yeah, and he's really gone through, you know, the process of, you know, safety and how does an industry grapple with that and how do you make sure that your sources of supply are appropriate sources. So I'm really excited about both those interviews.
Yeah, and it's not too late to sign up for the Power Summit for people who have it. Just go to asicentral.com and check it out. Starts on November 7th. Oh, go ahead, Michelle.
One other thing from this survey of suppliers was that for those who do anticipate to do that they're going to be doing well in 2011, and that is the majority of the suppliers who responded anticipate a better year in 2011. They plan to allocate resources on expanding their product line, on more electronic advertising, and more trade show attendance.
All good things.
That's interesting.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Andy, sometimes despite what distributors do, they end up losing a customer.
Yes.
How can you win them back?
Well, a couple ways. The first way is to stay in touch. You know, don't lose touch with that client. Make sure you're checking in with them and seeing how everything's going. And then the most important thing that you could do, the second way, is when you're staying in touch to present ideas. When they're, you know, when they stray and go to somebody else, they might not be getting the kind of marketing ideas that they've gotten in the past. They may just be ordering product. So keep presenting ideas and make sure you're, you know, keep following up on their business. So do your research on them as well to stay up on what their needs are. And then the last way that somebody used in this article that we pulled from FoxSmallBusinessCenter.com, it was pretty interesting. They used reverse psychology to basically keep a customer after they had – well, to win a customer back after they had left. And it was – the idea was to make it easy for them to leave. So when they had decided that they were going to go with a new vendor, this person said – totally understand, and you know, let me do whatever I can to make that transition easy for you. And they worked with the new vendor and tried to make that transition easy, and actually turned out, you know, staying in touch with that customer, like I said before, and then winning their business back. So it's essentially proving that your customer service may be better than the next person's, and just stay in touch and win them back that way.
All right, well, those are some good tips, and we're going to have more online at asicentral.com/radio.
Yep.
All right, now it's time for Joe Haley's favorite segment. We're going to talk about our editor's favorite things this week. And, Joe, why don't you get started?
Absolutely. I have a pair of construction work gloves that Vinny's going to hold up in front of the camera here from ATEF International. Mm-hmm. I like these because they're really thick and sturdy gloves. And when we think about this type of work glove, I think of the construction industry. We got the cold winter months coming up, so people who are working out there in that industry need to keep their hands protected from the weather, from the elements, and some of the tools that they're using on the job site. So you don't have to be a construction company to use these gloves. Any of the businesses that work with construction companies, supply companies, it could be insurance companies, can provide these with their logo on it and give it to them. Also great for homeowners as well, because pretty soon we'll be out in the yard raking our leaves.
And you're going to have a pair of those gloves on.
I need them because I have such, you know, tender hands from working in an office that I'm going to rip them up with blisters, so I need protection.
All right.
So I think they're great products for this end of the year.
What's the next product?
Andy Cohn.
Come on.
I won't be talking about my tender hands. My product is pictured online. It's from Logo Included, and I did an education kit a few weeks ago, and I'm a big fan of kits with that. There's a bunch of different products in one. So this is a kit for people on the go, mostly salespeople on the go. And the outside of it can be logoed, and the inside comes with a USB hub, a laser pointer, a wireless mouse, and more things that that people on the go, salespeople on the road, can really use in their presentations. So it's just one small kit that has all this stuff in it.
I'm getting you a kit for the holidays.
Please do. I like kits.
Michelle Bell, what's your favorite thing this week?
My favorite thing is a stylish women's computer case, because they are never, ever stylish. It's really hard to find, not that you guys would know this, but it is very hard to find a sleek, fashion-forward computer carrying case for women. And I found one, and it's from Gemline. And it's black, and it's very swanky looking. So it's on our site right now on asicentral.com/radio, and it's pretty sharp.
All right. Kath, what's your favorite thing?
Well, mine is from R2 Solutions, and it's the R2 Fish School. It's a complete training kit to teach your goldfish to do everything from shooting hoops.
I saw that.
Playing soccer. I saw that. Doing limbo and more.
Stop. And did you try it at home with your fish?
What?
I swear. Look it up on our favorite.
Look, Tim's
favorite
writing
things.
It down.
Mm-hmm. And
did you try it with your fish?
I don't have a fish.
You have
we're
going to
buy you a twist.
I
we're
have
gonna,
a cat. That's why I don't have any
we're
fish.
We're going to get you a fish. We're going to get you a fish.
I have a turtle.
Can you
maybe
teach me how to do the
twist?
You know, we're doing the twist to break the world record down in ASI Orlando.
I'm sure you could.
So we can teach you to do the twist.
This kit teaches them everything, and almost all fish 1 to 6 inches in length can be trained. So check it out. And go on their website and look at the videos. They're really funny.
I think it's like sea monkeys, right?
No, I swear. Go look at the videos. It's really fun.
All right. Well, with that.
it's good Kathy went last.
I want to train the Kathy kit.
Kathy can't be trained.
That's really expensive. And
that's
I don't
not
think
possible.
It works very well.
Return to sender.
All right. Well, a lot of people in the industry have learned from mentors over the years.
Oh, yeah.
But Kathy this morning has some strategies to find a business mentor.
Right. Okay. First of all, find a common passion that doesn't have anything to do with your business. Like if you're a sports aficionado or you're into cars or something, find somebody at your car club or, you know, another person that shares your hobby but also has a business that's similar to yours and can teach you certain things. You can meet for lunches every month or whatever. Also, after bonding over a similar interest, casually segue into business topics. That's how you get in there. Make a public request. Consider using your social networking tools to find somebody to be your mentor. Define the kind of mentor you're looking for and outline the types of decisions you'd like help with. Don't make it generic or you'll get like nobody or everybody, and you don't want to be rejecting people because that's not a, you know, good way to start off. And also pick up the phone. In the high-tech world, don't be afraid to just pick up a phone and ask somebody for their help. And advice.
I think those are good ideas. You know, I think in this industry, and you know, we had someone on the phone today who worked out of her home with just one other person. You know, for the smaller companies, I think it's really important to find a business mentor. And you know, you may not find one in your own company if you're small, but those are some good ways to reach out to others.
Yep.
Tim, have you ever had a mentor in your illustrious career?
I've had incredible mentors, and one of my, you know, my very first professional boss, Ev Grossclose, was an incredible mentor for me. I think it's also important to be a mentor for other people. So for the people that are, you know, successful in the industry, you know, reaching out and trying to mentor people either in the industry or also, you know, kids or college kids. There's a lot of people out there that need to have a mentor. And so for the people that are successful and feel like they can, you know, squeeze out another hour or two a week, there's nothing like, you know, being a mentor for someone. It really makes you feel great. Mm-hmm. I do that with a couple of people, and I love it.
And you were also quoted in a really cool book, too, with some great advice from CEOs, right?
Yeah, what's about mentoring. I wish I remembered the
name of
the book.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but it's really cool.
We'll post it on asicentral.com/radio.
I think our industry is good for that. There's a lot of people that work with each other in a mentor-mentee relationship. Mm-hmm. It's good to see, but it also means that if you want to find a mentor, you could probably do it pretty easily. Just go to the shows and start talking to people at the networking receptions. And
people
kind of
like
things.
To help. It's part of human nature.
Absolutely.
So it's,
especially in this
know.
Industry, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Last year at our Women's Summit in New York, a woman who was new to the industry found her mentor during the...
There you go.
Cocktail party.
Those things are great for them.
I think it'd be a great story. I think we should look into doing that as a story. You know, some of the mentors in the industry and what they've given back. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Joe Haley, you're about to give your next presentation. How do you make sure you ace it?
You need to focus on three things, and that's according to John Fallon. He is a presentation skills consultant, speaker, author, performance, vocal coach, educator, and PowerPoint expert. And those three things are
–
yes, it fits on a very large business card, Andy. First thing, you have to focus on the message. So if you're going to your local Rotary Club to talk about advertising specialties in a marketing campaign, make sure you focus on that. Don't be all over the board. Just you got to hone in on why it's important to use ad specialties. Also, think about the messenger. As the messenger, how do you present yourself? You don't want to go to one of these events dressed in a ripped T-shirt and a pair of shorts. Mm-hmm. Dress the part, okay? It doesn't mean you have to have a suit and a tie on, but I think that a nice collared shirt and a blazer is going to set you off as someone who knows what they're talking about. Because people have that. As soon as they see it, they're going to create in their head what you're all about. So first impressions sometimes are hard to overcome.
Did you show your belly button?
I did not.
What? What are you talking about?
Some of us were at a workshop a few years ago where someone's shirt was too small and a male and his belly button.
Oh,
but
I remember. Why was not me?
Andy, I can't believe you did that.
I'm guessing that's a no-no.
I'm quite glad I wasn't at that presentation.
Tim remembers.
I recall that.
Okay. I remember.
I recall that. Yes.
I remember that in Orlando.
I most certainly do.
And the last thing is focus on the medium. So you need to include PowerPoints, you need charts and pictures, things that are going to help you. If you're going to talk about ad specialties and give case histories to this Rotary Club meeting, we're going to stay on that topic, bring the products, bring samples with you so that they can visualize what you're talking about and actually touch and feel the products. You might want to pass it around like they would do in school, say, you know, here's a promotion that worked for such and such company. So focus on the message, the messenger, and the medium, the three M's.
Can we talk about PowerPoint for a second? Can we please use that sparingly in presentations? I think PowerPoint can be very effective.
No, I agree.
But to sit and have a huge PowerPoint presentation and then just to go through all the points is the most boring thing on earth.
PowerPoint is fine. It's how you treat the PowerPoint.
When you use it, you know,
if you're just reading the bullet points, then don't use it at all.
It should be...
Michelle's laughing.
Right, because I never have ever once created a PowerPoint. Wouldn't know how if you asked me.
Right.
But
long list of things you don't know how to do.
I mean, if you have an interesting video or graphic or chart to show, certainly, you know, put it out there.
This is used to support your message. The PowerPoint to support your message, not for you to stand there and read.
Agreed.
And make it visual. I think make it visual. You know, there's nothing worse than a PowerPoint that's filled with words, you know. Show what you're
videos,
talking about.
Graphics.
Yeah, charts, whatever.
And I love passing products around. When we have wearable seminars at the shows, people love to, you know, if you're talking about fabric, bring out the fabric. Show the embellishment options. Let people touch them, and, you know, they're likely to retain what they learn better.
Absolutely.
As well. Well, thank you very much. All right, this is a topic that I think all of us are going to be interested in. Andy Cohn is going to give us top tips for building wealth and success. How do you do that, Andy?
All right, what do you think is the best way to build wealth?
Spend.
Make money?
Spend?
Save.
Not spend.
Save.
Invest.
Invest properly.
Well, essentially, yes. It's live below your means. It seems very obvious, but people don't necessarily do it. And certainly in their businesses, they often don't do it, which can lead to profit issues. But also, look for bargains in everything you buy. So, Kathy, when you're spending, look for the bargain.
You have
and
to
then,
spend
you know,
money to make money.
Save.
That's what I always say.
Yes, you do need to invest. On the success
side. Put down your QVC shopping.
On the success side, make sure you're able to overcome obstacles. Look at challenges as opportunities. Don't just shrink from, you know, a challenge or an obstacle. Learn from it and make sure you can build on top of it. And then finally, don't be afraid to tout your own successes. When you do well in business, tell everybody else about it. You know, send some PR campaigns out or do something that touts your own success to try to build on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Andy. Speaking of PR campaigns, Michelle, I'm dying to hear the PR buzzwords that you should remove from your lexicon. And please say state-of-the-art is one of them.
And lexicon's one.
Win-win?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
win-win.
I'm just going to read some of them, and we're going to post them on our website. But, oh boy. And there's one. There's one that overwhelmingly was the most hated buzzword, so you guys can guess that. Here we go with some. Core competencies.
Yeah.
Best practices. Sustainability. Symbiotic, user-friendly, cutting-edge, game-changer. Mm. Anybody?
What do you game-changer. I hate that one.
Game-changer is pretty bad.
Paradigm-shifting.
Can we say the 90s? That is so old.
It is old.
Is that it?
No, there's some more. Raise the bar.
Yeah.
Out of the box.
Synergy?
Oh, out of the box.
Mashup. That's mashup. A relatively
that's a,
new one.
That's
that
a
I
new
hear
one,
all
but
the
also
time.
A new bad one.
Kind of silly.
Yeah. The theme here is that if it's a word like win-win or something that's groan-worthy, like, for example, you all just groaned when I said some of these, get them out of your presentations. Get them out of your speeches.
It's basically a cliche. Just don't use it.
It's a sea change, Andy,
is
what it is.
Win-win is like 80s, right, or 90s?
Win-win is just, is just bad.
And there's one that I had never heard, best of breed, which I don't know, does that have to do with horses or something?
That. That's used a lot with, like, best of breed software.
Oh, I've never heard that, thank God.
And you get these press releases, you don't understand what they're saying in their first sentence. It's like, you know, it uses all this jargon. It's like, come on.
Solutions oriented?
All right, so don't use any of those.
Actually, there's one on here that I use all the time, describing somebody or something rockstar or rockstar-esque.
I think you could keep that one.
Well, if the thing, if someone really is a rock star.
Pluses and Delta, sadly, is not on this list, but perhaps should be on this list.
That's an HR.
Michelle will have to blog about that so people understand what she's talking about.
Yes. All right. We're going to post those on asicentral.com/radio so that you can keep them out of your PR campaigns. We are out of time today. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And be on the lookout next month because we're going to have a very special guest on the show. First Lady Laura Bush will be here in November. Have a great week.